sees two hands reach outward, and she pushes back her fear and jumps into the arms to rescue her. As the heat and smoke keeps rising, and the flames leap from the wall, a beam comes down.
Take our Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3 is right where we're just going to start off, and we're going to go through quite a few different verses this morning, different passages of scriptures. Proverbs chapter number 3, the series during the month of October is going to be talking about how there's no other friend like Jesus, and we're going to compare what Jesus and how Jesus is better than any earthly or human friend. And I know we have a lot of good friends out there, but there's things that God can do that no one else can do. Last week, we learned about a God that can do anything, a friend that can do anything. So this morning, we're going to learn about Jesus, a friend you can trust. Jesus, a friend you can trust. Have you ever been hurt by somebody? You ever been stabbed in the back? You ever had somebody that you really thought was going to keep a secret and then went and exposed it? Or someone who you thought was going to do something, you expected they were going to do something, and they either forgot or on purpose did something to harm you? That happens. And no matter how good of a friend you are, or no matter how good of a friend you intend on being, there's no other friend like Jesus. There really is not, no comparison to the friend that Jesus can be. And so that's what we're looking at during the month of October, the difference between Jesus and earthly friends. And it's great to have good friends. It's great to have wonderful earthly friends. And sometimes they may disappoint you, and sometimes they may fail you, and you can forgive them and still have a good relationship. But there is no other friend like Jesus. And this is the man, this is the God-man that we need to introduce to the world. And that's what we're going to look at today. And guess some different things here I think will be an encouragement and help to you. I picked Proverbs chapter number 3 because it's a familiar passage of Scripture, and we have this word trust in it. Proverbs chapter number 3, these are very familiar passages of Scripture, and it starts off with trust in the Lord, meaning having confidence, meaning that we can be careless. We trust in Him so much that we can trust in Him with everything we got and not have to be worried or concerned. The day and time we live in, the problem is that many of us are having is we do not know who we can trust. Even with things when it comes along with this virus, it's sort of like you hear all different types of reports from all different types of people about all different types of facts, and you look at it and you read it, and you're like, who can you trust? Because so many people are saying some crazy things on one side, and so many people are saying crazy things on the other side. You come to a spot and say, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to figure out? How are we supposed to live? And there is one that you can trust that will never, ever fail you, and that is Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at today, is this idea, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So this morning, the Bible tells us a number of places, don't trust in flesh or trust in humans. Psalms 118, verses 8 and 9 says it this way, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So it's better. Not saying that you can never have confidence in someone. You trust people and you expect them to do things, but it's better to have confidence in the Lord than to put trust in man. Listen to the verse that follows right after it. It says, it is better, in verse number 9, Psalms 118, 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Meaning the people that you're supposed to trust, meaning the people that have an exalted position, a person that seems like they have everything under control, and at least they should be, you can't trust them. And it seems like many times they're politicians today. If you found a politician you could trust, they would be in the minority instead of the majority. And it should be the other way around today. You should be able to trust your elected officials. But this is the same question, who can you trust? But there is a friend you can trust. Isaiah 31:1 puts it this way, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. They're saying, hey, even for those that seem like they're strong, and even though that day Egypt was the one of the reigning nations, and Assyria was coming, Assyria was going to knock over the whole world and coming for Judah. And they says, look, if you're going to go put your trust in Egypt, you're missing the whole point. If you go seek Egypt and you find your confidence in Egypt, guess what you're not going to seek? He says, you're not going to seek me. And there's a danger in that. There's a danger in having confidence and trust in something besides the Lord. Jeremiah 17:5 puts it this way, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. It's when we take our confidence and our trust off of God, and off of what God can do, and off of who God is, and we begin trusting in man and things of man, it's where we're going to be in a dangerous area. Proverbs 25:19 puts it this way, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth, and a foot out of joint. And that hurts. And sometimes if you have confidence in the wrong person, I don't know about you, I had the opportunity as a younger guy to be in charge of some different places, from restaurants to pharmacy, and there are certain workers you trust, certain workers you give certain things to do. You know that you don't have to check up on them. You know that they're going to do their work. And there's other people you just regret having to give them anything to do because you know they're not going to do it right. No matter how much you explain it to them, no matter how much it's better, you feel like, hey, I'd rather do this myself. But for some reason, they're there and you want to treat them good and you want to do the best you can to give them an opportunity. And there's like, oh, I hate to even give them this to do because I know they're going to, and it hurts. And that's where the idea of having confidence in something besides God is something that is going to feel like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. So here's the first point. Jesus is different than any other friend. Jesus is different than any other friend. And I want to show you this in some ways that us as humans, even though we might have a desire to be the best friend that we can be to somebody else, we're humans and we fail sometimes, even though we don't even mean it. The first thing that makes Jesus different than any other friend is he will never forget. He will never, ever forget. One of the things I hate about getting older is I become more and more forgetful. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you guys are, you know, 10, 20, 30 years older than me. You're like, oh, it's not going to get any better. You might as well get used to it. I was cleaning up my back office or my study a little bit upstairs, and I came across a letter. And I kept the letter as a reminder. And it was something that someone had wrote to me, asked me to do something for them. And they were a family member to someone in her church. And I did some background work, looked at some different things, even began to have the progress of doing it. But I had to wait a week or two before I could do the thing. So I took the letter and I put it somewhere. You know, about 3 or 4 months later, I came across it and I had never done it. I had all intention in the world to do it. I really did. I wanted to be a help and a blessing specifically to the person that was a member of her church, but also to the individual that was asking for the help. And I had even done research, had everything set up, but I forgot to do it. And you know what that did? That broke my heart, because I really do not like breaking promises. And I do my best not to. But as I've gotten older, you know what happens? Sometimes you forget. And I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me, because someday my brain's going to be all gone. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God never forgets. What makes him different than anyone else is he's never going to forget your anniversary, never going to forget your birthday, even though sometimes people do those things. I think somebody even said, hey, happy belated anniversary. And nobody has to tell me happy anniversary. But, you know, it's times that we forget things, and it's like, oh, he never forgets. Think about some of the scriptures that go along with this. 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and know of all things. I think about when it says in Isaiah 49:15, and it kind of hits home. It says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. And I think about that. I'm thinking, how in the world could someone forget their baby? But it does happen sometimes. And sadly, how often do people even pretend they're not even pregnant and get abortions? And they're willing to forget all about those things. And those people that we hold so dear and so close, and sometimes we see even parents, mothers and fathers turning their back on their children and saying, I don't want to have anything to do with you, but there is a friend that is like unlike any other. It's Jesus. He's never going to forget. I think about it when it says in the scriptures, and not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father knowing, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. For ye fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. So what the scripture is saying there is, if God knows about the sparrows that are pretty much worthless in man's eyes, and if he knows how many hairs that are on your head, there is nothing in your life that God will not know and that God will not forget. And what a friend that we have. And we love our friends because they don't forget. They do their best to remember. But I can say in my own life how discouraged I get at myself when I have something set down. You see me many times carry my tablet with me or my phone, and I'm typing things in it when people are telling me things. Why is that? It's because I don't want to forget. I set alarms. I have calendars. I have all these things just to try to do my best. Whatever I've given my word to, I want to do my best to hold my word and to keep my word. And people are usually kind and gracious. They say, Pastor, we know you're busy. We know you got a lot of things going on. And sometimes I'd say, I'm sorry, I forget. But Jesus never forgets. And it's not because I want to be hurtful or harmful. There are certain things that man cannot do that only God can do. And that's Jesus. A friend is like no other. Second thing, not only does he never forget, second thing is he always knows what is best. He always knows what is best. You know, sometimes friends don't know that. Sometimes people come up to me and ask me questions, and they ask me certain things. Pastor, what do you think? Can you give some counsels? Can you give some advice? And there is safety in the multitude of counselors, but at the same time, there are some things people do not know. There are things that they might even intend to do what they think is best, but they might not always know what is best. But God says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you to an expected end. It's God saying, I am giving you, and these are my thoughts to you. I have plans for you. I have things I want for you. He says, they're to bring you to an expected end. He says, I got a plan and a purpose for your life, thoughts of peace. And he's saying, you can trust in me. I'm only ever going to do what's best for you. I'm only going to ever do what's right. Sometimes it's hurt, and sometimes it hurts, and sometimes we don't know what's going on. Sometimes it's overwhelming, but he has only thoughts of peace towards us. I think about some of the stories in the Bible. I think about Rehoboam. Most of us know Rehoboam being the son of Solomon, and he went to the older advisors to get some advice, to hear, and he listened to them. Then he went to his friends, the younger friends, the ones he grew up with, and got their advice on the situation. I think both people gave different advices, and both thought they did what was best for Rehoboam. But Rehoboam's friends, he listened to the younger crowd, and guess what? He got in some big trouble. He lost 10 of the tribes. Now, was this group trying to be harmful? No, they weren't. They were trying to establish Rehoboam as the next great king and that he was going to do powerful and great things. They had no clue what they were talking about. And sometimes our friends, they don't know what they're talking about. Sometimes they see our pain, they hurt our, they feel our hurts, and they want to do what we think is best for us, but they don't see as God sees the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. They don't see what God is preparing us for. They don't understand everything that God is doing and how God is trying to work. God will always do what is best for us. He always does everything very well. I think about Peter when he began to rebuke Jesus and tell Jesus, you're not going to the cross. Was Peter really trying to hurt Jesus? He was trying to protect Jesus. And Jesus, what was his response? Get thee behind me, Satan. And he said to him, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. And I'm just trying to prove a point here is that Jesus knew what he had to do. And I think it's great to have good friends, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that's unlike any other friend, and that's Jesus. He will always do what is right and what is best for us. That's the type of friend this world needs today, someone they can trust. I even think about Job's wife. After seeing all the affliction and all the pain he went through, all the suffering, she said, curse God and die. Once again, he trusted in God instead. Was Job's wife trying to hurt him? No, she was speaking out of a heart that's been hurting and a heart that was struggling and a heart that was saddened by the loss of her children and the loss of all the possessions and could not see what was happening. But Job said there was someone he could trust. There was a God he could hold on to. There was a God that he knew that had treated him good before and that God would treat him good then. He wasn't going to leave him. The third thing. Not only was it someone that they could trust because he will never forget and because he always do what's best, he's a friend like no other because he will always be there. He'll always be there. You ever had somebody tell you, I'm going to always be there for you? So sweet and so romantic at times, but they're lying. Someday they're going to die and they're not going to be there anymore. unless they're both taken to heaven or same place at the same moment in time, they're not physically there with him all the time. Now, I understand the commitment. I understand the reasoning behind it. I understand the sweetness and how it can be an encouragement to help. But there are going to be times in life that you just can't be there. And I think about those that are dealing with COVID. You can't be there with them. I think about my dad who's in a hospital and we can't see him. And once again, that's one of the saddest things about this disease or whatever you want to call it, virus, I guess is a better word, that because of some regulations and restrictions, because they're trying to keep people safe, there are people who are dying and never get to say goodbye to their family. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, how many of us would love to be there with the people that are hurting today from our church family? We'd like to just go into their house and help them do things. And we help them do things by just putting it out on the front porch, and it's an encouragement and blessing, and I think you should be that much as you can. How many of us love to be in the hospital room and just praying for Jesse? It can't happen. But there is a friend. There is someone that is there. There is someone that's like any other. And that's Jesus. He's even told us that he's going to never leave us nor forsake us. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness. And that's saying the way you live, it shouldn't be desiring so many other things, but be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The reality is there is going to be coming a time and day where you will not be there, where you cannot be there physically because of death may separate you from someone you love. But there is a friend that will never, ever leave you. That's the type of friend we need to tell the world about. The last thing, the reason why, and there's many different reasons why he is a friend you can trust versus others. This one seems kind of interesting. It's the idea of he will never deceive you. Now, a true friend, you would think, would never, ever stab you in the back. But there are times when people are out there to deceive you. I remember one time recently buying a car. I went to Raleigh. I found this great deal. When we look for cars, I like looking for cars, like finding good deals. And this guy was really nice on the phone. When I got there, he was my best friend. And the car was had all the right specs. The price was great. I checked the Carfax. No accidents. It was getting dark. And I don't know that much about body work. And I asked the guy. So has it ever been an accident? He says, check the Carfax. It's clean. I says, well, I know that. I says, but I want you personally, do you know if it's been in a car accident? He's like, no, the Carfax is clean. It hadn't been. Well, when I bought the vehicle and I brought it here, the first day in the parking lot, there was at least one gentleman, if not multiple gentlemen, in the next week or two saying, you know, that car has been in a lot of accidents. I said, no, the Carfax is clean. It was wrong. And that guy was being deceitful to me. And I even called the guy up and said, hey, you knew it was an accident. He said, no, the Carfax is clean. I says, I don't care what the Carfax says. He says, you got a good deal. And it was a good deal until the airbag light came on, until the car started shaking some. And thankfully, there was a dealership that wanted to buy it. And I didn't lose but just a few dollars on it. But I learned something. There's people out there that will deceive you. I think about the devil with Eve. What did Eve end up doing? She ended up trusting the serpent more than God. God says, you can't eat of this certain fruit. The devil says, oh, you can eat of it. God knows that when you eat of that fruit, you become as gods. And presented a picture there that says, you know, there are people in this world that will try to deceive you. There's people in this world that you should be very cautious about. And once again, according to the specs and according to sale prices and according to all the guides, I made a great deal when it came to the car. But in all reality, I should have taken somebody with me that knew more about cars, how they work, than just selling and buying cars. Because there are people out there that are deceitful. And I know sometimes we look at people and we question and we begin to be just looking and just saying, can I trust this person with this money? Can I trust this person with this secret? Can I trust this person? Blah, blah, blah. But there is a friend that you don't have to worry about whether or not you can trust him. He'll never try to deceive you. He will never try to fail you. He will never try to do something that is going to harm you. He will always do what is best. In the Bible, over and over, you see people that try to deceive others by trying to hurt them. You think about the Gibeonites coming to Joshua, pretending they were from a long-distant land when they were just right around the corner. You think about the old prophet that deceived the young prophet and saying, God told me to come to you and invite you to dinner, when God had told him to just go straight home, and he was killed by a lion. You see Judas himself betrays Jesus in the garden. You know, there are people out there that are going to try to deceive you in this world. It just happens. But you can trust God. You can trust a friend like no other, which is Jesus. I want to encourage you today, trust the Lord with all thy heart. You don't have to be concerned about him deceiving you, stabbing you in the back. You don't have to be concerned with him forgetting. You don't have to be concerned with him never being back, never being there. He always does what is best. So that begs the next thing, is what we should trust Jesus with. So the first point is, Jesus is different than any other friend. The second point is, so what should we trust him with? Now there are certain people out there that what you might trust your child with. There's certain people out there you might not trust your child with. There are certain, I think about Mike Thurman. Mike Thurman's evangelist, he's a great guy, a lot of fun. If my kids were younger, he's impressionable. I wouldn't trust Brother Mike with my kids out at McDonald's or something like that because he would do something goofy. He would do something crazy. That's just his personality. But there are people that we trust. So what is it that we should trust Jesus with? We just gave you a case showing you compared to the friendships and even compared to ourselves, we fail. We have to leave sometimes. Sometimes we don't know what's best. And sometimes we do things that are deceitful just to get our ways. We should trust him with everything. The first point is the thing that we should trust him with is our soul. Our soul. What do you mean? Who are you trusting your eternal destiny on? Who would you say has the ability to take care of where you're going to spend eternity? The Bible speaks of how you go to one of two places when you die, a wonderful place called heaven or a horrible place called hell, and that Jesus came into this world to die for the sins, to seek and to save that which is lost, and to die for the sins of mankind so that you may know that you have an eternal home in heaven. Are you trusting today in Jesus Christ? Because the Bible says there is no other way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who are you trusting your soul with today? If you're saying, I'm trusting in my good works, it's going to fail. If you're going to say, I'm trusting in the fact my parents are saved, it's going to fail you. If you say, I'm going to trust in the fact that I'm a church member, or that I've been baptized, or that I do a bunch of good things, they will all fail. There's only one that can trust you, that you can trust with your soul. And that's Jesus. Think about what it says in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Trust in the Lord today. He is the only way to heaven. In a little while, we're going to have an invitation. If you don't know for sure, if you died today, that you're to go to heaven, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. How you can have the Lord, trust that the Lord's going to take care of you. And so if you can trust him with your soul, you can trust him with your life then. If you can trust him with the thing that will last forever, you can also trust him with your life. We go back to that verse we read earlier. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, that give you an expected end. You can go ahead and say, God, here's my life. I'm giving it over to you. It's yours. Do what you want with. Some would say, who in the world does that? Well, isn't that what it says in Romans 12:1? He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, that every day you get up and say, God, this is not my life, this is your life. What is it you want me to do? And that's holy and acceptable before God. And the Bible doesn't say it's unreasonable. The Bible says it's your reasonable service because of what he's done for you. Because he's the God of the world and he's created us, but he loved us so much that he would die on the cross for us. And he done so much for us. There's not one thing is too much to ask for when it comes to how we serve our Lord. We should trust him with our soul and with our life. We should trust him with our kids, our family. It's hard. I think about my dad. He sat up in a chair. He told me yesterday for the first time in a couple weeks. He actually got to sit up in a chair. He was excited. But you know what that means? That's a long, hard road to get back to walking again. A lot of rehab from here to there. And if it was up to me, I'd be worried. But it's up to God. I can trust him. And it's a difficult thing. But then you see those kids that you love, you're watching them grow up, and you see their wants, you see their desires, you see the friendship you want to have, and the things that you want to do for them, and you know your thoughts and your expectations and everything you desire for them. But if you can trust him with your soul and you can trust him with your own life, you can trust him by raising your kids for the Lord. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. They belong to him anyway, don't they? I mean, the Bible says that we're not our own, that we've been bought with a price, that we're just stewards of the things that he gives us. And what we're supposed to do is say, how does God want me to raise this child? How does God want me to take care of this young person? You can give. You can trust him not only with your soul and your life, but also your kids and also your possessions. Things come and go, but there is one you can trust. So the next thing is there's a bunch of promises in the Bible about trusting the Lord. And what I'm encouraging you to do today is there's no other friend like Jesus. You can trust in him. And I know that today is a discouraging day because the way our world is going, because the way America is going, because of the pandemic, because of inflation, because of our how everything looks like it's happening. What is a person to do? Trust in the Lord. Because he's never going to leave you. Because he knows he's never going to forget. Because he's always going to do what's best for us. So as I read some promises, I want you to think about them. Think about what it says in Psalms 31:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. It says that the goodness of God is great to those that trust in him. Psalms 32:10 puts it this way, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. So it says, the great is the goodness, that mercy is compassing them. They that trust the Lord, in Psalms 125:1, shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And so you think about what those verses are saying. They're saying that, hey, that God's greatness, his goodness is going to be great, that his mercy is there, they're going to abide forever, and that they're going to be safe. You think about them, and I don't know the exact verse. I thought I had printed off, but I had printed the last one off twice instead. But it talks about that perfect peace. Which one? It says, his mind has stayed on thee. There's the offer that's there. If you keep your mind on the Lord continuously, he says he's offering you something called perfect peace. Man, perfect peace is missing so many places today and in so many hearts because our mind has not stayed on him. There is also, take your Bible to Isaiah chapter 36. In Isaiah 36, there's a story here that I want to show you about Rabshakeh. He said, that's a cool name. Well, Rabshakeh wasn't a very nice guy. So Rabshakeh, and here's the point is, there will be some people who do not understand why you're trusting in God. I think Job's wife was one of those. You still have your integrity? After everything that happens, how can you still trust God? Why don't you just curse him and die? And I don't give her a hard time, because who knows how we would act if we lost all our kids? Who knows if we would watch all our possessions be gone? And the one that you love the most is sitting there suffering with boils. I mean, that who knows how we would act? We're thankful that we see the way how Job responds, but at the same time, I don't think we should give her too hard of a time. Now, in Isaiah chapter 36, we're just going to go through the story quickly. There is a representative that comes from Assyria. It says in verse number 1, now it came to pass in the 14th year of Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. Now they were there and they were holding on to some last of the cities. It says in verse number 36 that Rabshakeh actually comes out and begins to talk to those that were standing on the wall. We'll actually start in verse number 4. And it says, Rabshakeh said unto them, Say ye not now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Sayest thou, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? And what Rabshakeh is saying, and he's saying in front of all the men that are standing on the wall, he's trying to get them just to give up, to surrender to Assyria, because Assyria is this big, great, mighty empire that's taking over nation after nation after nation. And it comes to the spot, he says, hey, look, you can't trust anybody else. Look what it says in verse number 6. Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. So he's saying you can't trust in Egypt. Then he says in verses 14 and 15, he says, then say the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. So he begins to question all the different things there that he says, you can't trust in God. Go back to verse number 7. He says, but if thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altar Hezekiah have taken away and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar? So this man is saying, you can't trust your king. How can you say you can trust God? Because Hezekiah took away all the high places. Hezekiah took away all the different things. What Rabshakeh didn't know was Hezekiah was serving the one true God when he took away those high places. Hezekiah was serving the one true God and when he took away the altars that were not the one true altar. And Rabshakeh was saying, hey, he's telling you can only worship here. How can you trust in God? God's going to be mad with you. God's going to be angry with you. Why is that? It's because Rabshakeh has no clue about the God he's talking about. Rabshakeh has no idea that he's talking about the one true God who is going to get ready to kill 185,000 of the Assyrian army. Look what it says also in verses 18 through 22. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Syria? So he begins to say, hey, look, how can your God do it when none of the other gods did it? Verse number 19, where are the gods of the Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Seraphim? And have they delivered Samaria out of thy hand, out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But they held their peace and answered him not a word for the king's commandment, saying, answer him not. Now, so what the story is saying, this man was coming in and he was trying to speak to the people and saying, you can't trust your king. You can't trust your God. But he didn't know about the one true God. He said, hey, look, the Samaritans have all these different other gods. None of them worked. Why is your God going to work? It's because he didn't know the one true God. Because there, even though there is no other God that could deliver them from Assyria, there is a friend that can do all things. There is a friend you can trust. And there are going to be people in this world that says, well, how can you trust your God? It's because they don't know the God that you know. I want to encourage you today, trust the Lord. No matter whether how young or old you are today, people will scoff at you and say, well, how can you believe in a God that does this and does that? How can you believe in a God? God never helped you over here, and God never did this, and God never did that. But you know he is a friend that will never leave you. You know he is a friend that will always remember. You know he's a friend that will always do what is best. You know he's a friend that will never try to deceive you. And in this story, what happens is they go and talk to Hezekiah. Hezekiah then goes later on in the story and he prays before God, and God gives him a promise that they're not going to come, they're not going to shoot an arrow into this city, that God is going to provide and God is going to protect. And the amazing thing was God did protect because they trusted in him. Now later on you say, well, Pastor, you talk about Judah, you talk about Daniel was taken over by Babylon, it's because they stopped trusting in him. They stopped. And I'm not going to tell you that if you start trusting the Lord, everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't work that way. You know, but what he does say is he can work all things together for good. He does tell you that he's got thoughts of peace toward you to an expected end. He does say that you can trust in him. And not just on the surface. You can trust in him with all your heart. And he even goes as far as saying, lean not into thy own understanding. The things that might not even make sense, you can trust in those things too. And all thy ways, that's every part of your life, acknowledge that there is a God. Acknowledge him. Say that I know there's a God. How would he want me to respond? And then he'll direct thy paths. So today, there is a friend you can trust. Don't get me wrong, I have a lot of great friends in this world, and I'm very thankful for each and every one of them. Many that are even seated here today or watching online. And I trust them with a lot of things. I'm not going to trust them with my soul, though. There's only one friend I can do that with. And I'm going to trust them, but I'm also going to know that sometimes they may fail me. But there is a God that will never fail me. I encourage you today, think about Jesus, the friend you can trust. Think about Jesus, the one you can introduce anyone to, because all need to know him. Think about Jesus, who will always do what you think a friend should do. And that's what's best for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. I am thankful for that friend that is like no other. I am thankful for that friend that can do all things, and I'm thankful for that friend that